glad to be here. We're finally here, aren't we? And, you know, it's going to take some getting to know each other, and, you know, I'll do things differently than they're normally done, or maybe I'll be nervous and rush things, but we'll figure it out. We'll get it all together, and it'll be fun. But one thing I do know is we're finally home. This is home for us, and we feel very clearly that this is where we're supposed to be, and we also know that God laid on you very clearly that this is where we're supposed to be. So the body of Christ has spoken through the word of Jesus, and here we all are. And as we continue to worship this morning, I ask that we stand, and as we read the sermon text comes out of John 15, as you see in your bulletins, John 15, verses 1 through 8. Very common passage. This is Jesus is probably walking to the Garden of Gethsemane right here. This is right after the upper room, and they're probably walking to the Garden of Gethsemane and talking about these things. It says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Your word does not return to you empty. It gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Let it do so in our hearts this morning. It's not Pastor Aaron, it's your word that nourishes us, and we're grateful for it, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we just moved from Pennsylvania, and it was a long, sweaty drive, especially because my radiator went out, and so I had to keep the heat on for it. I got a heat rash from the drive. It was awesome. But one thing that's different about Pennsylvania, because I'm from the Midwest, as most of you know, I'm from Minneapolis area, but the trees are huge out there, and they have small trees, but they all get big. They're like cottonwoods, every single species. They're just gigantic. They just tower. I don't know what it is. It's something in the water, but they all get very big out there. And on all the trees, there's this like a vine that grows on all these trees. There's vines everywhere, and they're worthless. They do nothing. They can be pretty, but mostly you just have to make sure they don't overtake your yard. They're everywhere, and they don't have any fruit. They don't even flower. They're just kind of, in the wintertime, when you see them all over the trees, they're kind of ugly. But it's gorgeous out there, but the vines aren't. Ezekiel, the prophet, in our Old Testament lesson this morning, speaks of a vine like that. A fruitless, worthless vine, good only for burning. He says, "Is wood taken from it to make anything? Do people take a peg from it and hang any vessel on it? Behold, it is given to the fire for fuel," the word says. "And when fire has consumed both ends of it and the middle is charred, is it useful for anything then? Absolutely not. So behold," it says, "when it was whole, it was used for nothing. How much less when the fire is consumed will it be useful?" This is Jerusalem. This is a judgment on God's people. They were supposed to be the vine. And instead of being set apart for God, they joined all the other people in sin. They ended up being useless. Jesus contrasts this. Jews would have known that story. He contrasts it and says, "I am the true vine. I am the vine." He is the fruit-bearing vine, the one that flowers and has much fruit on it. The vine whose branches are pruned and nurtured that they would become even more fruitful. It's not wild, but it's holy. It's set apart. It's a special vine. In John 13, he does something real special for his disciples. He sets an example for them, and he washes their feet. And then he excuses Judas Iscariot, and then he says, "It's time for me to go back to the Father," if you remember. And they didn't realize that meant death and resurrection. They didn't really know what it meant. But he's telling them he's leaving. His time with them is over. and he's to be with the Father. He should go back to the Father, and they should be glad for him, because to go back to the Father is greater. It's good that I'm going to the Father. In light of all this, he tells his disciples, remain in me, abide in me. And this is a constant positioning, constantly stay, remain in this spot. So this is our new home, and we're excited to be here. And you guys, you've been praying patiently. How long has it been? 18 months? 19 months almost? And we've been praying. And look who he brought together. He brought us together. And this is a good thing. He sent you a pastor, and he sent us a congregation. And we're so happy to be here. And I know you're so happy to have a pastor. Hopefully you're still happy to have one after a while. We'll just wait and see, right? Here's the challenge, though. And don't mistake this as confidence issues. It's not. We will fail you. We will. We're flawed. We're humans. We have sin in us just like everyone else. And if we're honest with ourselves, all of us have warts. All of us have our blind spots. We have areas in our lives that are imperfect. You've been praying for a pastor. We have been praying for a congregation. We both had our prayers answered. Amen? Amen. But the answer to our prayers does not lie in us. We're flawed. That's not the answer to our prayers. The answer lies in the one who answers prayers, the true vine. The answer lies in Jesus, our Savior. Today, as we come together, you heard how loud it was out in the narthex. It's an exciting day, a celebratory day, a good day. Let's celebrate together, but let's celebrate the true vine too. Let's celebrate the source of our joy. And I know you are. That's not I'm not chiding you, but let's focus on the source of our celebration. John 15 says, to abide in me. This is very common. We've heard this passage usually at least once in a church, right? It's pretty common. It's a command. He says, abide in me. That's a big deal. Anytime you see a command in the Bible, that's a law statement. That's not a gospel statement. He's saying, do this. Well, how can that be? This is a gospel passage. This is this warm, happy passage. Abide in me, and I will remain in you, that you'll bear much fruit. Well, think of who Jesus' audience was. His audience was believers. It was the disciples. He was talking to his 12 or his 11. At that time, Judas was already run off doing bad things. He says, abide in me. Do this. Anytime you see law in the Bible and it's written to believers, it's the third use of the law, which is it's a guide. It tells us how to live our faith. It's not saying, do this or else. No, do this that it may go well with you. Do this. This is how you live properly. This is how we live as Christians. We remain in Jesus. We abide in Christ. And that's a good message. That's a good message. John 15:1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He is the vine to which all other vines are compared and patterned after. He is the true vine. He is the eternal nourishment for us. He is our salvation. He is the correct vine, the perfect vine, the holy one, the true vine. And his Father is the vine dresser. He prunes us. He cuts us. And pruning doesn't feel good. I don't know about you, but I don't like being pruned. I'd like to think that I don't need to be pruned, but my wife is pretty knowledgeable in the areas I need to be pruned. And bless her heart, she's so gentle with me, but I got rough edges just like everyone else. I, as a pastor, need pruning. We, as a body of Christ, need pruning. And it's not to hurt us. It's to make us even more holy. It's to make us even more fruitful. In our text this morning, Jesus gives his disciples at least three outcomes for remaining in him, for abiding in him. And these outcomes directly affect us. It's to believers, and we are believers. We are a church. So this message is for us. It transfers to us. And the first reason we're to abide in Jesus is that we may bear much fruit, that we may bear fruit, it says. In verses 1 through 5, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. And this is a simile. Just like this. Just like a branch can't bear fruit outside of the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And the vine dresser, he prunes us to be... you know, to be a branch, if you're a branch in the vine, you are saved. You are a Christian. You can't bear fruit outside of the vine. So it means you're attached to Jesus. It means you're a believer in Christ. It means you are redeemed. You're saved. So if you and Luther, he says it like this: individuals, they can fall away from that though. Some people believe that you can't, but Luther, he looks at the Bible, and the Bible is very clear that there's believers who walk away. Look at the Jews. They walked away. Look at the prodigal son. He walked away, but we can also come back. But those of us who abide in Jesus, those who continue in their faith in Jesus, he still prunes us. He still snips away at those areas that need to go. Did you notice that to abide in Jesus is to bear fruit? It doesn't say, unless you bear fruit, then you can abide in me. Because we abide in him, because of our position in Jesus, we bear fruit. We are fruit bearers if we abide in Jesus. It is assumed that you have fruit. If you are a Christian, you have fruit. Period. Done. There's no debate there. He wants you to have more. He wants you to have more fruit. Abide in me. A branch. Us, Christians, church, Calvary, church universal. You cannot bear fruit unless you abide in him, unless you remain in the true vine. It's crucial that we remain in the vine. We have to stay in it. And how often are we tempted to leave the vine? I don't know about you, but the world is tempting. It's very tempting. There's always ways that we're being pulled away. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, and there's a lot of ways to sin, too. There's a lot of things to put our trust in other than Jesus. As a man, boy, security, good job, money, supplying for your family, these can all become idols for men. But that's not putting my faith in Jesus. That's putting my faith in things. You know, I mean, that's one way. That's just one way to be tempted away from the true vine for nourishment. We're told to remain in Jesus. And this position it's based upon faith, not works. We're to remain in him. We're to stay in that spot. Remaining in Jesus, it doesn't mean being good enough, because none of us are. It doesn't mean going to all the right functions and having all the right friends. That's not what remaining in Jesus. Remaining in Jesus is having faith in him, believing in him, following him. I look at it this way. It's his grasp on us. It's the way that we remain in that grasp. It's not how hard we grip the Savior. It's how hard the grip of the Savior is on us. It's how hard he holds us. It's our job not to pull away. My kids like to pull away sometimes, and I grab them tighter. Sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to bruise them, but it's a busy street, and I'm not letting go. You know, it's how hard I hold my kids, and that's how salvation, that's how we remain. And he'll prune us. Even us. Did you know that we need pruning? Can you believe that? The gall of the Word of God, that we would need to be pruned. I used to be an arborist part-time. I used to climb trees, like with a rope and saddle, and trim them when I was in college. And I wasn't very good at it, but it wasn't bad. It was whatever. And the idea with a tree or a shrub or any kind of plant is to take the energy and channel it into the branches that you want to grow. And you get rid of the branches that won't grow well, the ones that have decay, or the ones that have or dead branches, or maybe you have branches that are crossing and rubbing. You get rid of one of those so they're not wounding each other. It's to make it more vigorous. It's to take off what's holding the tree back or the shrub back. What's holding us back? What's holding us back from remaining in him? Both as a congregation, but also in our own lives, in our own prayer closets, as we go about our day.